Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
You're listening to Guitar Nerds, so you best get your nerd on. But if you want a little more, well, we've got a Patreon. A place of such majestic wealth for any guitar player, where I can drink a pint of gin and talk about John Mayer. Patreon.com/guitar nerds. That's right, get your nerd on.
Hello and welcome to the Guitar Nerds Podcast, the world's number one guitar podcast. I am your host, Joe Branton, joined this week by Jake Ross.
Hello.
And Matt Knight.
Hello there.
Yes, yes. Hello, gentlemen. How has your week been, collectively?
Busy. Very
Jake
busy.
Ross?
Yeah, busy, but good. It's been really good, but it has been very, very busy. But I had a band practice this week, which was
holy
very exciting.
Hell. What are you playing in this band? Guitar or bass?
Bass, of course.
So you're playing your, what is it, like a 2005 P
yeah,
bass?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, American Standard.
In Olympic white with a torque guard?
It's Olympic white, torque guard.
Maple neck?
What do you take me for?
Maple,
of course,
maple
of course
board,
it's a maple. Right? Of course, it's a maple board.
Stock pickups.
I think so. I think so. The thing is I bought it secondhand, and I bought it from someone who obviously was a very heavy smoker. So, you know what Olympic White does when it's around people who are very heavy smoking.
Butterscotch blonde.
Yes, it's gone almost that kind of colour, but I love it. It's like beat to hell. I've lent it to a few people when they've like friends bands from overseas when they've come over on tour. So it's done like a couple of hundred gigs, even in just a couple of years that I've, well, in the 5 years or so that I've had it. And it's great. It sounds great. It feels great. But the reason that I was having this band practice is we're having a band night at work where a bunch of people from work have got together and are doing a bunch of covers or whatever. So I feel really inadequate because I'm the only person in the band who doesn't have a custom shop. And it's like really reignited my drive to get a custom shop.
You do have some great guitars though, man.
I do, yeah, you're right. I do have some really great guitars.
You don't have a custom shop bass though.
But I don't have a custom shop anything. So I've been thinking
a nice custom shop sir. That'd go great.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of actually. Yeah, or a Freedman. Yeah. On those great relic jobs. But no, I've obviously been thinking long and hard about what I'm gonna do. I think a 58 or a 59 P bass, shell pink, of course. Uh-huh. And I think anodized gold guard.
No, you can't do that. Like everyone's seen what anodized looks like on the through Olympic white that they do, and it just doesn't. It works on Sunburst because they genuinely came like that. It doesn't work on any other color.
I think it really works on pink. Honestly,
yeah, I think on
shell pink. I think it really works. That or maybe a black guard. I'm not sure.
Really? Why wouldn't you just go mint? I mean, mint and shell pink. What an absolute winning combination.
I know. I know. It's really hard. Those are the three that are going around my head. I think I'll probably end up going anodized gold. And then, you know, if
you can
later
date,
I want to change it. I think it's better to start with the gold because the gold's more expensive.
That's it. Start with a scratch plate that actually costs £70 if you want to retrofit it.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'll start with that and then I'll move backwards if I want to. But the other thing that I've been arming and ahhing over, and perhaps you or the listeners might have a thought on this, is I don't think as standard there's ever been, like, vintage correct, I don't think there was ever P bases with a matching headstock, but I really want a matching headstock. Like, do you think getting a matching headstock when it isn't, like, correct?
No, I'm a big slave to the vintage correct thing.
I know, but matching headstocks just look better.
On jazz bases,
Relic P bass.
I thought you were going to say headless.
Headless P bass with a matching headstock. You get this
little attachment.
What,
it's just in the bag?
It's just a little attachment.
I'm telling you, Traveller Guitar do a headless P bass. And it looks they do. A headless P bass with the tuners inside the body, and it looks fantastic.
Inside the computer.
Maybe there's a real market for people who want Traveller's guitars, but sometimes don't want to seem like they're playing a Traveller's guitar at their jam night. So a clip-on headstock.
Surely that's just like that should just come as standard, though, because obviously most people have got a traveler guitar because they are traveling. And I mean, how much extra is it to just bosh a headstock in the bag with it and then bosh it on when you get to the show or whatever, you get to your hotel room?
I agree.
But I don't know. I'm trying to decide on whether I care enough, and I think I probably do, which is such a shame because I really like matching headstocks. I just think they look better. But that said, perhaps what that tells you is I need to just get a custom shop telly, and then I can get a matching headstock.
I mean, you have some fantastic guitar. The thing is, the fact that you already have the Telemaster, and you've got the double cut Les Paul Junior, those are already fantastic guitars. If you were going to go custom shop, you don't necessarily need to.
Not in the short term, though. I mean, I think the most pressing thing for me, and, you know, this is such a, woe is me, I don't have the exact bass that I want. But, you know, that's exactly the point of this podcast, really. But, you know, I think that's the thing that in particular, because that's the instrument that I use the most. I'd like to say I feel more like a guitar player, but, like, I feel more like a bass player for sure. I'm like a guitar player who plays bass.
Yeah.
But I play bass a lot better than I play guitar. And I think that's the most important thing for me, is getting that. And then I think probably, you know, within the next few years, I do want to get a custom shop Les Paul Junior. I'm still on the lookout for like a decent Les Paul Standard. I had a great Les Paul Standard, and I sold it to get a Les Paul Traditional, and then that Les Paul Traditional wasn't good, and I got rid of it. And it was good. It just wasn't what I wanted it to be, and I think it wasn't as good as the standard that I had. And I don't know. I've had a lot of thoughts swimming around in my head recently, but see, yeah, go on.
No, go on.
I think P bass is the next thing. Especially now I'm playing in a band with Dan Grace, who's, you know,
it has one of the best custom shops of all time.
Absolutely incredible. I feel so inadequate.
The thing is, with buying like high value or Gibson custom shops, or even sort of the top end of Gibson solid bodies, I think there is. I was really up for getting one of those right up until what's that European brand, Matt, that we checked out at that begins with an M that we saw at the Birmingham guitar show?
Maybach.
Right up until I saw Maybach and realized how well someone could do lacquer checking that wasn't one of the big two.
Yeah.
and do a great looking headstock. Right up until I saw those guys, I would have hemorrhaged money on a $3,000 Gibson, but I have a $4,000 one, but if I was buying another one, I would get a Maybach SG.
Yeah, those they are fantastic. They cool. Have they updated their website to have Les Paul Juniors on there?
Oh,
yet?
I don't know. Their website was really annoying last time I checked. They had their the Fender the S style and the T style guitars, which did look absolutely fantastic. But I do think with Fender style guitars, because of course you can never copy the headstock, it means that you're going to have to make a different looking headstock. And I think it's easier for brands like Sur. I guess now PRS, where you can just make a modern looking headstock. I think that still works because I think that sort of that a Strat style guitar has really transcended time. Like it looks good modern and it looks good traditional. Whereas Les Pauls, SGs, things like that, the headstock has to be traditional, but there's more. You can make that headstock any sort of rough version of that and it will look fine, whereas on a Fender style guitar, as soon as it's not the Fender one, it's really really
it's weird, isn't it? Yeah.
To answer your question, because I can't remember what it was like last time, there are SGs on the Maybach website now. They're called the Albatross.
I seem to remember there weren't juniors though, and when we went there, we saw a Butterscotch SG Junior, I believe.
There were always SGs and SG Juniors. It's just when we were at the Birmingham Guitar Show, we did ask the guy there if they were going to be doing Les Paul Juniors, and he said yes, but they are a little way off, probably 6 weeks. And I was like, okay, that's a fine amount of time. But, you know, where are we? Nearly a year down the line, and they're not on the website. So I don't know. I think you can get them on Thomann, though. So I wonder if they've got stuff on
I love their... that whole booth was just like one fella in a suit as well. Like absolutely... listeners, I'm sure all of you have been to guitar shows, but that's absolutely not the vibe of most guitar shows. It's always like just a load of reps, like, or people that they've hired in you know, T-shirts for the brand. And this was... the whole Maybach stand was just this one really well-dressed guy in a suit.
Just having a look on the Thomann website, and they don't have any Les Paul Juniors.
Just have the S and the T's, don't they? I think actually that I believe that was the way it was split. I think Thomann have the Fender style, and I can't remember who
World
the
guitars?
Company is. Potentially, yeah, someone else has the Gibbs only the Gibson style.
No, so. They've got both on here. Thomann do they do have some?
Oh really? Oh, okay,
yeah, fine. They do have some T styles and some. LPs and some 335s, but
that's cool. Hey, so do you know what I've been getting really really into this week, which I did not expect to?
Well, hard drugs.
Of course I expect to get into hard drugs. Okay, that's ridiculous. Mustang bases.
Oh yeah, man! What are you talking about? Mustang bases are amazing.
I thought you were going to say mustard. I was like, oh, it's just
really, just I'm snorting mustard these days. It's great.
Really cheap. Really, really,
really affordable alternative. Mustang bases. So I've always known they were super cool, and I've had one at my flat for a little while to like just mess around on. I've always been aware that they're really good, and then I've actually sort of sat down and spent some time with the new Mustang, part of the offset series, with the PJ pickup format.
Yeah.
And I don't think I've ever played faster in my life. It's it's just improved my... like, I sometimes forget what wimps you guitarists are, like, and how easy you have it on the tiny little necks. And I was like, oh, yeah, oh, I am that quick when you give me a 30-inch scale neck, and I've just had an absolute fantastic time.
Totally. Well, I mean, those bases I think are great, but the one to look at, I don't think there are any in shops yet. I think they got delayed.
They didn't get delayed, but they were all sold. I know what you're going to talk about. The
Justin Meldell Johnson.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen this one. I Googled Fender Custom Shop Bass, and then this came up, and I was like, yeah. Wait a second.
So explain it, Jay, for listeners, because I don't think it's hit the news that hard, but it is instrument.
It was announced at NAMM. I think there was just, like you said, I think the first lot went out and then just got sold immediately. But it's a Daphne Blue 30-inch scale Mustang bass, road worn. So, but like the road wearing on it is absolutely fantastic. Like it looks like
a custom shop. Yeah,
yeah, it really does.
And it's a light relic, so it's kind of like lacquer checking and a couple of dings.
And it looks amazing. So obviously it's nitro, and it's got a proper Mustang bass style pickup. So proper like single coils in there,
and proper Mustang bridge, so through strung as well.
Yep, but it's also 9.5-inch radius, which is, you know, fantastic.
Absolutely. That's what you want.
It's honestly, like, I picked
speed
one of these
stripe
up
as well, isn't it?
No, not on these. Yeah, no, there's no speed stripe on them. But yeah, it really is an absolutely incredible bass. I picked one up at NAMM, and that's the only time that I've had a chance to hold one. And it's just absolutely phenomenal. It really is an incredible bass.
They're coming out around the £1,000 mark.
I think it's just shy of a grand. So probably about the same in the US. They're so, so good.
What I really like about these sort of basses is they're great for guitar players who want to play
bass.
Exactly.
That was exactly what I was going to say about this, about the Offset Mustang, which I think is only about £450. I've been running it through my Fender Blues Junior and my guitar board at home, and it's great, just like capoing, been capoing on the second or the fourth, and like just making like. Yeah, exactly. But just making like fun, weird noises with it, with my HXFX, and I was just like, this is the most amount of fun I have had in a long, long time. And actually, do you know what about with regards to this Mustang bass? Really receptive tone control. I don't know. I think it's because I'm probably used to flats, but just like rolling the tone down to sort of halfway. And sort of really receptive volume control as well, and just using that with drives at home. Oh, it just, there's so much. It's been so long since I've played a bass that I felt as versatile as this £450
Mustang bass.
Well,
that's the thing,
bass.
Actually. And funnily enough, a friend of mine sent me a text this week saying, "Look, I'm looking at getting a bass just for doing some home recording. What would you recommend?" And that was the first thing that came to mind, because, you know, it's made in Ensenada, so you know it's going to be a quality guitar. It's super cheap, it's short scale, which is probably he's a guitar player, so obviously it's you know, that fits more what he's used to. And you've got that P&J, and I mentioned that to him, and he was like, "Yeah, that's actually what I'd been looking at." So,
well,
you know,
it literally doesn't that tick every box? It's got that P-bass pickup, so you can do your sort of clangy punk rock or sort of rock and roll sounds, like the things that, you know, that you'd be really into. It's got that jazz pickup on the bridge, so you can either blend them up and get that natural scoop, or, you know, you just run it on the bridge, roll the tone off a little bit, and you have like a super 80s tone. Plus, it's short scale, so you can fly around it.
It comes in Sonic Blue. You know,
comes
I mean,
in Sonic Blue, which is the colour I've got. I'm thinking about, because I've just got this, I'm just borrowing this, so I'm thinking about actually paying for this and then taking that finish off and getting it done in something proper like black.
I honestly think you should wait and look at get a JMJ when they come into stock, because
they're still not a colour that I'd play live, and I really want this for live. I'd need like sunburst or black or like a proper colour of butterscotch maybe. But
God, Mafrock's so boring.
I know it is. But I've also set up searches on like Reverb and eBay, so I'm keeping my eye on the ground. What's that saying? Yeah, I'm keeping my eye on the ground. So, listeners, if you see any UK or European Union based Mustang basses, but even the old ones, I don't necessarily need the PJ. I'm just in love with the way that these play. They are absolutely fantastic. Now, guys, this week we've all been sent. We've all got some new stuff to talk about. Matt Knight, you got some gear from DS Engineering. Is that right?
I did indeed, yes. Thanks to Daniel in the Facebook group, who reached out. And originally,
what is DS Engineering?
So it's his pedal company that make like mainly utility pedals.
What do you mean by utility? Like things that do more than one thing?
Well, I sort of class those pedals as like the boring ones, but the kind of pedals that do things that you need but you don't want to spend a ton of money on, but you know it's for some sort of unique like application. So we were talking a few weeks back about the JHS pedals and how you could link two of them together, so the tap tempo of one would control both. And then he was like, oh, I actually make a pedal that does three at once, so you can tap tempo your entire board from, you know, if you don't have a switcher, for example, that's got control outs, he's like, this is a one in, three out, like tap tempo controller, but it will just repeat the pulse of the input out three times, or it will go out to two tempos and also do a latching switch. So if you want to change channel on your amps, just a really nice little kind of tiny box that you can hide underneath your pedal board, that's really easy to program. So I thought that was really cool, for doing things like, well, but you know, if you've got like an old, I've got an old Boss DD5 and a like a DD7 and then like a couple of JHS pedals, and there's some nice handy dip switches on top that you can kind of set them for polarity so it works with any pedal, with an LED on it. So that was really cool until he sent the Chronograph, which is the ultimate utility pedal because it doesn't actually make any noise, but it definitely makes your pedal board much cooler, because it's basically a clock for your pedal board. It's tiny, but it's basically a four-digit display that tells the time. And you plug it in and...
Not like the actual time.
The actual time.
No, not like how it's 7:55 p.m. in the evening.
When I put like my my Uncle Ben's rice in the microwave and it tells me there's 30 seconds to go.
It tells the actual time. I plugged it in and it said it's 5:39.
Oh,
I went,
really?
It is 5:39. But it also does, it doesn't just do that. It does a count up and count down feature, which you can set the time on. So if you're playing a wicked math rock set where you actually have 39 minutes and 40 seconds to complete your set, you set the time on this bad boy, hit the go button, it'll count up or count down.
Tell me that it cuts everything off when it reaches
no, there's no input or output.
It's literally just a clock.
Can you set it to loop? Like, can you set it to like count down from 10 and then count down from 10 again?
I don't know.
But you just,
I think
count.
When it gets to zero, you just press the button and it goes
Because I think it would be really cool for, you know, if Joe was like, right, guys, listen, I've written this great song. The only thing is it's in 63, you know, 63.8. No, like, and you've got to set it to like, you've got to set it to 63, and then like when you get to 63, it like goes back again. And so like you always know that you're in time.
Yeah.
Genius, of course.
But actually, it just looked really wicked on a pedal board. And I was like, I kind of like having the time. And actually, do you know what? Sometimes I lose myself when I'm like playing time. I'm like, right, I need to play guitar. I've only got half an hour. And I've got a load of other stuff to do. And then I end up playing for like 2 hours. And I'm like,
I think
it is
quite cool.
How long I've been playing guitar for, because you can do the count up feature, or you set a specific time and then you press it and it'll count down.
Matt, how about this one for you? Get it, Bosch it in the middle of your pedal board, and then you can hang your pedal board up in the bedroom, and you're like, yes, it's a clock.
Yes.
It's just a clock. It's just a fancy-looking clock. And then when you're ready to play guitar, you just take it off and bosh it on the floor. There you go. You're ready to rock and roll. And then put it back up on the wall, and it's just a clock again. Fantastic.
Even better.
You put it on your pedal board, and then you're playing a gig, and everyone's like, oh, what pedals you got? And then you do this wicked bit, and you've got programmed the sound. You press this button. Everyone's like, what is that? And you're like, oh, it's a secret. And all it's really doing is just telling the time.
When Matt and I were in Summernam, we were talking to the guys from One Control, to Eric from One Control, and he referred to a great term, which I really liked, which was the fact that a lot of the One Control pedals are part of the pedal board management genre of pedals, and I think that this very much falls into the idea of a pedal board management pedal. I really like
because
the idea
once
of
your pedal board
management.
Gets big enough, it needs its own manager. You know,
absolutely,
you've got,
absolutely,
it needs its PA. It needs someone to look after it.
Do you know what? Speaking of pedal board management, I've been finalising a new pedal board, just a second pedal board. I actually bought a couple of pedals a second time,
so what?
I didn't, so
Joe
I didn't
Branch,
have
you're
to.
Worse than me, honestly. You're so much worse than me. I know.
But I didn't want to have to trade them over. Basically, I have
just
completely...
a couple of timelines and big skies, right? Just,
yeah. No. Nothing that complicated. Essentially, I've completely fallen in love with the HXFX. I think it's incredible. But I also love the Boss MS3. And I found myself unable to make a decision between the two. So what I've done is I've built a second board which incorporates the HS effects, but I've never found a compressor as good as the Boss bass compressor.
CS3, yeah.
What's that one called? No, not the CS3.
BC1X.
The BC1X. I've never heard anything as good as that. That is by a metric mile the greatest compressor.
That's the purple one, right?
It's green.
Okay.
Yeah, metallic green. So I bought that a second time anyway, so that I could fit it on my second board. But speaking of pedal board management, because I've got this second board, and I have the. Do you remember the old really large Boss Expression pedal? That's also a volume pedal.
The FRV 100.
I mean, I couldn't tell you if you named it, but it's huge and silver.
FV 500. FRV. What was the FRV 100? Oh, the Fender Reverb.
The FRV1 is the Fender Reverb.
Yeah. Sorry.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So I love it, and this sounds lame, but I'm really into action. The action on a volume pedal is really important to me.
I
think Source Audio have nailed it with one. They did a notched action on an Expression pedal, and I absolutely love that. I really love the Ernie Ball, the 25th anniversary one. I think that's that is fantastic, and that certainly sits on my other board. But on this one, I've gone for the hugely oversized. You are going to sacrifice at least two additional pedal spaces to this volume pedal, this massive chrome and rubber Boss jobby. But yeah, that's certainly sat on there running into the HXFX. And then I was like, well, the thing that I want is a delay that can do mental stuff that I can just have right there, really accessible. So of course it's the RE20, something that
of course
I can hold down that second switch and I know it's gonna make weird noises without me having to bend over and like mess around with controls and stuff. You know that's there. So that's front row. But then I'm out of front row space. And the thing is that whilst I'm really into the HXFX, I'm really into drive. And so whilst the drives are very, very good on the HXFX, I'm always going to want something separate. But I've run out of front row space now, which meant I'm going to have to put my drive, which is probably my most used pedal, on the second tier. And this brings us around to pedal board management. I'm running a Pedal Train Novo 24. So for the first time, I bought one of those Pedal Train risers.
Little risers
for the second tier. Yeah, and what a wonderful deal. And do you know the drive that I've fitted to this? It's the the Petty John. Do you remember the Iron and Chime? It's a dual foot switch drive
with all the controls.
Yeah, I cannot clarify in words how good this sounds on bass. It is the greatest bass drive of all time and in all of history.
Oh wow! Okay.
It is absolutely amazing. But thanks to those little risers, I never realised what a difference it would make. I've never used those risers before. I'm sure listeners are like, yeah, well, of course you use a riser for the second tier. But I've always been very much like, all the stuff I use, I put at the front. All the stuff that stays on, I put at the back.
All the small things at the back.
Exactly. But absolutely. And that Petty John drive, I really, really can't get enough of it. But actually, I also got sent a few things this week as well. We got sent from Chirality Audio. Do you guys see this? Do you guys see this in the email thread?
No, I missed this
either
one.
Either of you? Okay, so I'm really into this pedal. They've sent us their new drive, which is called the Splinter. I've popped it up on our Instagram, listeners, just a photo at the moment, but I'll pop some I'll do some video bits on it. It's essentially a TS-808 style pedal, Cheap Screamer style pedal. Simple, you know, drive, level, tone. But then it has a bandwidth selector.
Okay.
So
okay, that's cool.
Yeah, which is great. So I realized, I was like, oh, so I can open this up to sort of the third bandwidth setting, and it sounds fantastic for bass. You know, you can use it. They're like, yeah, you use it for keyboards, use it for bass, use it for guitar. On guitar, it sounds absolutely fantastic. Like, now, I'll tell you what, like, opening it right up on the bass setting on guitar, especially on something, they did actually recommend this, and I tried this. They were like, yeah, if you're using, like, a Strat, and I love Strats, and I love the bridge pickup on Strats, using the Trellity audio splinter, yeah, using that on the bass bandwidth with a Strat on the bridge pickup, I was like, oh, this is essentially like turning my Strat into a Les Paul whenever I want to drive it. It sounds absolutely fantastic. Like for some, you know, like we get a lot of drive pedals, like second only to fuzz pedals, to be honest. And it's difficult to get excited about things when they're like, it's a Tube Screamer copy, and it's like, nah. Yeah, I mean, Tube Screamers were fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with them. But this is absolutely fantastic. I'm really, really super impressed with it. So 100% worth checking out. And I got a second thing, actually, as well. Do you know, have you heard of Mr. Black?
Yes.
Portland, Oregon, yes. Mr. Black. I got the Doomstick fuzz.
Oh. I really want to try that.
Oh, it's fantastic. Okay, so listeners, you're going to love this pedal. If you check it out. If you're into games at all, if you're into retro gaming, then this is very much the visual for this pedal is after that wonderful original
movie with The Rock.
Yeah, the movie with The Rock. I've just...
Oh, probably one of the greatest movies of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
I've just accidentally pulled the LED out of it. I'm just...
You've pulled the LED out of what?
It has... The LED is like... I'm putting it back. It's fine. I'm borrowing this. It's like the...
Can you send it to me? They're sold out. They had a sale, and now they're all sold out.
I know. I actually... I'm borrowing this off of your friend and mine, Joss Allen. But it's fantastic. One single rotary control on the front, and it might be the largest rotary I've ever seen on an effects pedal. The one rotary, which I assume is fuzz, is literally the size of the palm of my hand, and that makes it all the more fun to use. But what a fantastic pedal indeed!
We don't talk much about Mr. Black. The Supermoon is the pedal that I'm always seeing people going on about. I've watched a couple of videos on it, and it sounds absolutely incredible. But I've never had a chance to actually have a go on one, and it's
they sound really good.
Yeah,
really ambient and lovely and washy. And
yeah, it's the Supermoon. I'm always hearing people, always seeing on people's boards and stuff, and it's it's one that I really, really want to check out.
They're definitely a great company making really interesting things. I mean, as the boutique market gets continually more saturated, I think it gets harder and harder to make something unique. And I think Mr. Black are doing a really, really good job, both with that and with this Doomstick. Really cool, innovative stuff. Now, we really should move on to some news. But just before we do, you know, we spoke about the Mesa Boogie Fillmore 50.
Yes. Well, hold on. I mentioned it, and then you just went, oh, Boogie, terrible.
Yeah, yeah. Essentially, that's exactly what I did.
Oh!
And then, didn't I see you post about it the other
day?
Yeah,
you posted it in it.
Yeah, yeah. So one turned up at work for us to shoot a video on, and I just went and sort of, I was like, I'll give it a bash. And
I'll give this boring dentist amp a bash. Yeah. It's just so that I can talk about how boring clinical it sounds on the podcast. Oh, it's really good.
It was so ridiculously. I have never bought into to Mesa Boogies before, and I could not believe how good it is.
When they're good, they're really really good.
The thing about Boogies is, and I always remember this from working in more so GAC, because we sold more Boogie, is that unless you've really like know how to dial in an amplifier, they're terrible because most people can never dial them in. And once you know how to dial one in, it's like, these things sound great. Yeah. But they have so many controls, they just become overwhelming. And then you're because all the EQ is active.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
So people were like, oh, I'll just, you know, turn up the treble. And then it's like, well, it throws everything else out of whack and you kind of have to dial it all in. It's like, yeah, but once you dial them in, they're absolutely perfect.
Absolutely. And this is actually a relatively simple amplifier, just two duplicated channels, essentially, with the same controls on. Very simple for a Boogie, but it sounded absolutely fantastic, helped indeed by the fact that I was running it through the new Gibson Gary Clark Jr. Triple P90 SG, which is,
I hadn't heard of that until you posted about it. Is it new? Mate,
yeah, well, I mean, I don't know. It's new in that we've never had them in before.
Right, okay.
They're like £1,100. That's
what?
It.
Is that it?
I cannot if it was $2,500, I'd be like, this is an incredible SG. At £1,100, I'm like, this is the best thing Gibson have done in years. It's wow. So good. The finish is amazing. Three P90s. That's everything you've ever wanted. I grabbed one of the old Vox Curly cables, and I had this cool vintage cable running into this incredible Boogie Fillmore with this three P90 Gary Clark Jr. SG, and I was just like, this is for all the pedal boards that I own. For everything that I have sitting around, for the 200 plus effects pedals in the room that I'm sat in right now, I was like, this is the best I've ever sounded on a guitar.
He's always had some interesting gear, because he had that Casino. Do you remember the Epiphone Casino, which was really
nice? Oh, I don't know.
You never saw that?
No. What
yeah,
was
he
it?
Had a he had the black and blue Casino. It was called. It was like a blue sunburst, blue out to black, obviously, hence black and blue. And it was Casino with like a trapezoid bridge, and trapezoid tailpiece, and USA P90 pickups. It was really cool. I thought it was a really really great guitar. Really really great guitar. I think he maybe had a. Did he have a? Was there a Les Paul version as well, or am I making it up? And I think it maybe was just the Casino. But yeah, it's a really cool guitar. So it's cool that he's you know, it's obviously sold well enough for him to get a promotion. I also think it's good that he's not. I think it would have been, because I think Black and Blue is the name of an LP that he did. Which, you know, right. Hence the guitar. But I think it's he did his first album was called Black and Blue. But I think it's good that SG has stayed as like just sort of a heritage cherry color, because I think if he'd carried on that aesthetic and done a black and blue,
you can't do that with Gibson, not the same way you can with Epiphone.
I just think it would have been too much, because you know the three P90s on there are like. That's quite a lot to begin with. There's a lot going on with that. I think if it had been like maybe an SG Junior or something, you probably would have been able to get away with it. But it's cool. And I haven't realized that's really cheap. That's really, you know, for a sort of off spec USA built SG. That's really cool.
Absolutely. Really cool. The my only thing with it was really difficult to dig in because of those three pronounced P90s. So, but still an absolutely fantastic guitar. Anyway, gentlemen, shall we move on? Let's have some news.
News.
So Matt, first up, we have some new amplifiers from, or a new amplifier from Tone King.
Yes. So Tone King are a brand I probably talked about a little bit before when I used to work in a store. Awesome vintage 50s, 60s Fender type amplifiers, I guess you could say.
But like a really boutique, high quality version of. Because of course, whenever Fender do this sort of thing, it tends to be the what were the names of some of the Fender amps that are in this sort of 50s style?
Oh, you mean like the pawn shop one, like the Rampart and the
Excelsior.
Excelsior was the one I was thinking of.
And the
there was one other, wasn't
God,
there?
It'll come to me.
They had the Greta as well.
Yeah,
the Vaporizer.
Vaporizer, that was it. And I tell you what, I really remember when the Vaporizer came out because it was the first time that I'd seen quite so many all the rockabilly dudes from in Brighton all of a sudden turned up in the GAC store to try out a Vaporizer.
I remember we had so many. I don't know whether we had them returned, but so many emails about the boost function. People were like, yeah, I was just playing and I plugged the foot switch in and I hit the boost button and it was too loud.
And my house fell down.
Yeah, because the boost function actually just disengaged the volume and turned it to 10.
That was great. That was the great thing. I'm sure we've spoken about it on the podcast before, but the great thing about that amplifier was that it had volume, tone and tremolo, but the foot switch didn't engage the tremolo. It just bypassed the volume.
Yeah, really, really weird amp. Really
weird amp. Didn't that amp have an accordion input as well?
No,
that was the Excelsior, I think.
They're the ones that are like really going up in value because they sounded wicked. They weren't much money. They had a 15-inch speaker and they were really easy to mod. So a lot of people were modding them and just like upgrading a couple of components and then they were like real... like classy amps, and it's like they never come up second hand. When they do, usually you're looking at sort of like 300-500
really
quid.
Of course. What on earth is going on there?
I know they were cool amps, but bring it back to Tone King. So most people might know Tone King for their Falcon amp, which is the one that looks a little bit like a TV set, so all the controls are on the front and they're offset on one strip down one side. So a lot of people have probably seen that
because
it comes on a little kickstand.
Yeah.
Yes. So the Sky King was their most versatile amplifier that covered a whole range of 50s and 60s Fender type stuff. There's a whole bunch on this amp that you can do. So it makes it a really great session or recording amp. There's a few features you probably wouldn't use live that you'd more set and forget. But in terms of like messing around at home or, as I said, recording, you've got dual channel. So what they call basically rhythm and lead, which go between a glassy sort of black face Fender amplifier to something a little bit more raucous, like a cranked tweed amp. But you've also got custom voiced modulated tremolo, which is like proper bias tremolo. You've then got a mid-bite on the lead control, which adds in more mid-range for a little bit more drive, also tightens up the low end. You've then got pentode or ultra-linear mode, which give you two different ways the valves work, and they now have their Iron Man 2 reactive attenuation built in as well. So that's not only a six-step attenuator, it's a reactive load box, so still get the feel and response at lower volumes, and it's independent attenuation per channel. So if you want all the headroom on the clean,
cool.
You can have no attenuation on the clean, just open it up, super sparkly, you know, not very compressed, just really open. And then the lead, you can crank all the way up on attenuation, drive the channel, add in that mid boost, get almost something reminiscent of like a Marshall sort of cranked plexi or, you know, blues break or something like that, but at much lower volumes. On board with that, you've also got a full spring reverb, which is all tube-driven as well.
Oh my goodness.
Yes, I mean, that is partly why the amp weighs 60 pounds. It is a weighty beast. But in terms of just all round, you know, ultimate, you know, boutique Fender machine, I'd guess, you know, if you want something, if you don't want to have a Tweed and a Blackface, you know, Princeton or something like that, this kind of covers everything.
You know, I have to say, for the price point, I would expect it to, yes, but this does sound amazing.
Well over 2.5.
It looks like it's close to three.
Oh, yeah, sorry, close to, well,
3,000 USDs.
Yeah, so probably the same in the UK. So custom Celestion speaker in there as well, independent controls on both channels. You know, everything foot switchable, controllable, apart from the attenuation.
One absolutely gorgeous amp. I mean, it's a ton of money, but this is the absolute height of amplification. This is as good as it gets.
It's a pretty big combo as well. 24 inches by 12 inches by 18 inches. So it's no, you know, it's no sort of small portable gigging amp, as it were.
I think that's a gig.
Is it 24? That's, I guess, only I'm so used to like small amps now. I'm just
that's
like,
only the size of like an AC30, isn't it?
Is it?
I think so. I think, in fact, actually, that's probably a bit smaller than an AC30.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, talking about this, each channel being switchable. Having the attenuation. That's no different to what like the Mark V amps have got. That you can do that on those. I mean, you know, it's a great feature, and it's something that I think it's surprising that you don't get on more amps. But it's not like, you know, reinventing the wheel. Basically, it's very cool. It's very, very cool little feature.
Yeah, absolutely.
I guess the attenuation, their Iron Man attenuator, is their own proprietary unit. It's not just
a basic, you get that as a standalone unit
you
as well?
You can, then? Actually. That's, yeah, it's cool. Called the Iron Man 2 mini precision reactive power attenuator, which also has, I really like this feature, it has a solo button. So by hitting that,
what?
It disengages the attenuator.
Nice.
So you can use it on the floor on your pedal.
Oh, wow,
board.
Yeah. So you use it like it's like a pedal.
Yeah. Yeah. So the pedal format puts the attenuator on your pedal board, as I say. So foot switchable boost with a line level output as well. So you can actually take, because it's reactive load, you can take the load from your amp, have it on your pedal board, and then line output, go into speaker and still have line output, so you can then run your own IRs or use it as a DI for recording as well.
That's very cool. Very, very cool.
So that's a separate thing that you can buy that's also built into their amps as well. If I remember rightly, they're about, I want to say like 400 to 600.
What,
I remember it being the attenuator.
Iron Man 2 is £380 by the looks of things.
I didn't think it was as close to six. I remember it being around four, and I'm like,
I mean, that seems very reasonable. That's how much what were the only attenuators you could buy
THD.
The
hot plate.
Yeah, the hot plates were that much money, and you know, they were a bit of a nightmare. And this, having it on your pedal board and being able to cut the attenuator, that's very cool. That's very, very cool.
And what's great about these amps as well, and I'm pretty sure it's still the same, but they come through boutique amp distribution worldwide.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So they're a bit similar to some other brands where they also do Morgan and Friedman amps, and they're all built in the same factory.
I love as well.
So you know the quality is going to be awesome. You know they're just going to last and last. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Jay Cross.
Hello.
Fender have done it again. Well, not just Fender. Fender Japan have released a whole chunk of new stuff. As if the market's not saturated enough with awesome guitars from Fender Japan at the moment, there's even more. Why don't you talk us through them? There's quite a few.
Yeah, well, you say Fender Japan has done it again. I mean, this sort of stuff comes out of, is made in Japan for the Japanese market all the time. It's just, not all of it makes it over to Europe or to the US.
Why do Fender Japan get all the cool stuff?
I think it's more down to the fact that, in general, Japanese guitar players seem more willing to have weird stuff. Is the long and the short of it. I mean, you know from what sells working at GAC. You know that it's it's white strats and it's Heritage Cherry Les Paul Juniors.
There's a white strat Les Paul in standard, this lineup. There's a white strat.
Yes, there is. So, but basically, every now and again, we get a bunch of stuff that comes over, and this is a selection of it that's come over right now. And there are some very very cool stuff. So, I'll touch very briefly on. On the 50s stripe strats, but you can't. They are US only, so you can't get them over here. Okay. So obviously, we don't care too much about them because
the bulk of our listeners are US.
Yes, but you know, in the great notion of British imperialism, I'm going to gloss past these very quickly. But yeah, it's a cool 50s strat, 7.25 radius.
Is it?
Yeah, it is. Yeah. So it's proper 50s.
And with a Mustang speed stripe.
So, yeah, you get, if I remember correctly, it's Lake Placid blue with a Daphne blue stripe. It's Shoreline gold with a Shell pink. No. I can't remember what that stripe is. And then the other one is Surf green with a Shell pink stripe.
For $799.
Yeah, it's pretty good. They're really cool. But anyway, moving over to the stuff that we care about because we will actually get a chance of seeing it. Very sorry to the everyone in the US who listens to this podcast.
Yeah,
actually,
I'm not sorry at all. It's going to be amazing.
I'm not sorry at all. I only care about stuff that I can see. There are two new Jazzmasters. These I think were leaked maybe 3 months ago or so.
Yeah, I certainly remember seeing these occur.
yeah, that was me. Yeah, that was me. Says Joe Brent. No, I think these came out. I think they got leaked maybe 3 months ago, so it's kind of old news. But Pink Paisley Jazzmaster and Blue Flower Jazzmaster. So they're like traditional 60s spec. Again, really, really cool. They look amazing. I mean, Matty, I think you need to get one of these to sort of add to your Paisley collection.
Yeah.
1,000 USD.
Yes.
Yeah, I actually know that they're coming into to GAK. So,
So that's really cool.
Excited.
There is then something that's very exciting, which actually I think we've been talking about on and off for the last few years, really. There's actually going to be a Strat 12. Well, a couple of Strat 12s. Now, I do know that these are super, super limited. That's my kind of inside knowledge there. So if you are after a Strat 12, I would think about getting over to your favorite guitar shop and asking about them sooner rather than later because they are super limited. But these are there's Sunburst and there's Olympic White 12 string with
mint guards on both.
Yep, with not exactly the hockey stick headstock, but it's not like a symmetrical headstock either. It's kind of there's like a bit of a kink at the end. Looks really, really nice, really classy. Huge U-shaped neck, and again, 7.25 radius. Honestly, these are very, very cool. I haven't seen one, and I don't think I will get to see one because they are just so limited. But yeah, these are really, really something. Really, really something. I'm so excited about these. I really hope that you get them into GAC, Joe, so that I can go and actually have a look at them. And then the most exciting out of all of these.
Most exciting. You've saved the best for last.
Of course I have. Is, I mean, everybody knows about my love of offset Telecasters. I own an offset Telecaster. I absolutely love my offset Telecaster. We have now got a Japanese mahogany offset Telecaster. So mahogany body, mahogany neck, rosewood board, single coil in the bridge, and P90 in the neck.
Mahogany cap on the headstock as well.
It's a mahogany body. I don't know.
The headstock's matching.
Oh, yeah. It's a mahogany neck.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, it's a mahogany neck. Yeah, with a rosewood board.
That is mental, isn't it?
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And yeah, a couple of weird little things with it. Again, U-shaped neck, so absolutely banging. Huge, like no caster star neck. 10-inch radius, which is a little bit unusual. I don't really know what to say. It's really cool. Really, really exciting. Again, this is something that I'm absolutely desperate to get my hands on.
I can't believe the price point for this.
I know. So it's what, like a grand? Maybe?
No. $799 US.
$799 US. I mean, what do you think about
how
that?
How are they doing it?
I know.
How are they doing it?
I know. It's absolutely phenomenal. So that is... I mean, this is obviously my bias showing here because first of all, it's a Fender, but you know, mainly because of what it is, an offset telly in mahogany. I mean, man, honestly, I absolutely cannot wait to see one of these in the IRL because it just looks so good. I had a play on one of the Troublemaker tellies recently. I got to have a go on that, you know, from that was announced at NAMM, and it was just amazing. Like that mahogany body with that telly, just with that telly loadout was just so fantastic. You got the rumbling sustain that you get from a mahogany body guitar, but because it was because it's got like a telly bridge pickup and that bridge, you still hear everything. It chimes through, and I think this is going to be exactly the same. So
yeah, what the perfect balance of two
worlds.
Yeah,
it really is. It really is. I mean, it's difficult for me because, you know, as I say, I already own an offset telly, and I think I would find it very difficult to justify buying another one.
Come on, they're so cheap.
I know. So I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But it's it really is something special. This. So let's see what happens. I really want to see them come out, but I really think that these four guitars are wicked, really, yeah, really cool. Absolutely. So definitely, absolutely, if you're interested in getting something, just go. Like, I think they're all limited. I really don't know the numbers, but it's I think it's going
to
be.
Yeah, you're going to have to be quick, listener. You're going to have to be quick.
So
Moore have released three more preamps in their preamp range, as if their preamp range could get any more substantial. They have 15 preamps. 15.
It's mental.
Moore substantial. 15 preamps in their preamp range, and of course they released their own power amp recently as well. I can't remember what they called their power amp, but they released a very nice sort of amp top power amp, which I was quite into. And do you know what I really like about their preamps is they're numbering them. I didn't realize this before.
Yeah.
But every preamp has a number in its series, so. They've added three more, which are 016, 017, and 018. The zero at the front suggests that they're planning to get into.
When will they start preamping their own preamps? That's what I want to know. When's it going to get all Inception?
Yeah, exactly. But yes, they've released three more. So they've got the Phoenix, the Kali Mark IV, and and the Custom 100. So the Phoenix is black and red, and it's very, very much styled on a sort of German metal amp. So
I reckon it looks like it rhymes with Bengal. Is that what it looks like to exactly me. I actually don't know, but I assume is what it is.
Very much that sort of thing. But it's cool, like another like super high gain amp in the range. I think that looks fantastic. The one that's that I like the look of the most and like the sound of from the video is the Kali Mark IV, which of course is kind of trying to be a very, very super clean modern day session-y style preamp. Very, very cool indeed.
Have you noticed on the graphic for the Kali Mark IV, they've got a little EQ diagram with the scooped mids? So I guess that's probably what the it does have a three band EQ.
It does.
So it's that's really cool. Really cool.
Yeah, super cool. And then the last one, which is obviously like they're calling the Custom 100, and it's very much a 100-watt Marshall Plexi style preamp. But you know, do you know what? These are three more micro preamps. They cost nothing. They're £50. Yeah, and I just think if you're running, I appreciate that, you know, most people who are, it is a weird product still, because I think most people who are interested in this sort of modeling side of things are probably running Helix or Fractal, you know, or Kemper or things like people who are into the idea of running a preamp power amp situation. Probably aiming at a sort of you know, that sort of high end of things. It's certainly something dominated by the high end, but or even if they're not, like even things like, even companies like Mod Duo, who I'm really into their pedal. You know, that's only a couple of $100, and you think you can have any one of hundreds of preamps programmed in there. So this is a weird thing, like having isolated individual preamps that you're paying for separately, rather than getting them, you know, all included in a box. But
I think it's very cool. I tell you what, I'm surprised that they haven't, and maybe they will at some point, but I'm surprised that they haven't done a kind of BCB60 style pedal board where you can get, you know, maybe like six pedals across the front, and then maybe a Baby Bomb. The Baby Bomb is the preamp, isn't it?
I had the Baby Bomb actually. I borrowed I think did they send us a Baby Bomb? They did, didn't they? Because I tell you what, they sent us a Baby Bomb just before I had to go into the studio, and I took a Head Rush and a Baby Bomb. Mainly because I didn't have time to learn how to use a Helix at the time, and the Head Rush is just, you know, drag and drop with your finger sort of thing. Yeah. So I took the Head Rush and a Baby Bomb, and it sounded great.
I mean, I think that you know, they could do some sort of, like, as I say, like a BCB60, like the Boss style pet board that only has space for Boss pedals. If they did something like that, that had, you know, maybe six Moore pedals,
they do one across
the front. Well, but then also, you know, because the Baby Bomb, which is the power amp, sorry, of course, yeah. And then you could have that across the top running horizontally, and then room for one of the preamps horizontally as well, and then you've got like a real neat little compact micro pedal solution, you know.
Jay, you need to go and work for Moore.
Yeah, it's a good idea, isn't it? I also think it's weird that they haven't done, if it was me, and you know, it's not, but if it was me, I'd have done, like, if I knew that they were bringing out this many like preamp solutions, I'd have like done a subscription service. Like, wouldn't that be cool? Like, you know, because like you say, they're £50 each. If you get like people to sign up, and it's like, okay, we'll pay £500 for the year, and you're going to get 12 of these over the course of the next 12 months. That'd be well good. I don't know how many people would do it, but I mean, I wouldn't. But like, you know, I'm not sure how many people want 12 preamp solutions. But like, I think that sounds like quite a cool little. Cool little thing. I don't know.
Yeah, they're definitely a brilliant product. Gentlemen, that brings us up to time this week. Do you know what I put a post in the Guitar Nerds Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/guitar nerds forum, asking people to suggest questions. We got some really good ones, but unfortunately, because we tend to blabber, and also because there was some fun, exciting news, we haven't got onto a single question this week. So we're going to try and hammer through as many as we can in the Patreon episode this week. We're probably going to start off. We had a really interesting question from Matt Davey in the Facebook group, who asked, once you've got a good guitar, amp, and a few pedals, what should be the next rig improvement, or is it just a world of diminishing returns? Does it become more about tonal options than better tone? Which we thought was a really interesting question. So we're probably going to head the Patreon episode off with that, and then we're going to move on to some of the other questions, because there have been a ton. So I do apologize for us not answering those. But that is it for us here on the regular podcast. We will, of course, be continuing over on the Patreon shortly, where for as little as $1 a month, you can support the Guitar Nerds podcast. $1 a month gets you the regular episode, ad-free and early. $5 a month gets you an extra half an hour every week, plus access to bonus features and mini-series such as Branton's Rant On. And at $10 a month, that makes you one of our executive backers, granting you access to everything already mentioned, plus the prestigious honor of having your name read out in one breath by me. And we've got more people this week, so it's getting harder. You ready? Should I just go?
Wait.
All right. Why?
Wait. I was going to try and find a drum beat for you, Joe.
Okay.
This time.
When you say drum beat, do you mean like 808 beat?
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Literally given you the last 5 minutes of me talking for you to do that.
Oh, right. I think that's a bit too
I can do it.
A bit too slow.
Oh, yeah. So we'll go for, 240 BPM?
Yeah, that's fine with me. I can do that. I can keep.
It's so quick that most of the notes aren't ringing out. So we will slow it down to 125 for you, Joe.
Okay. Right, I'm going. You ready? Hold it up to the mic.
Wait.
Matthew King, Ethan Jebediah Bartier, Stephen Conrady, Scott Hamilton, Ivatan Malgas, Baron Peters, Gordon G. Richard III, John Arbo, Joshua Mitchell, Chris Wolfgate-Cumpinson, Ryan McDermott, Robert Cousins, Rob Gould, Nate Nagel, Tucker Abaddon, Ernie Cooper, Emery J. Spraker, Christoph Ramp, 16 Omar, Matt Roberts, David Lee, Derek Quitzer, Matt Cliff, Matt Davis, Aaron Sherman, Blake Wyland, Jake Gray, Christopher Loseth, Ron Currier, Scott Kennedy, Robin Smith, Rob Nordwick, Rob Grant, Derek Rich, Chris Connors, Andy Joyce, Carlos Manta, Steve Michael, Blair Toms, Mark Cross, Brad Page, JD Short, Andy McKenzie, Laurie Anstis, Paul Corrigan, Will Clare, Scott O'Brien, Phil Thompson, Moo Gravett, Colin Anderson.
Quality work. Quality
great
work.
Great.
Thanks.
It's getting I really
closer.
Was,
it's getting I really... closer.
I really was just totally transported to a world of it sounded like oh I don't know like just Brooklyn hip hop in the 80s with that 808 sound and you reading people's name out like that.
I really feel that I nailed that Brooklyn.
I think so. I think
sound.
You should be really proud of yourself, honestly.
Thanks, man. So there you have it. You can follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Guitar Nerds, or on YouTube at Guitar Nerds Videos. You can even visit our website, guitarnerds.net, where all our various channels are displayed in all of their glory. And you can even purchase Guitar Nerds merchandise and become a true member of the club. That is it from us for this week. We'll catch you next time for some more guitar nerdery. Farewell.
Cheers, gang.
Goodbye.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.